May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. It is such a blessing to have so many guests with us today. Many of you, we welcome back year after year on Easter, and we are glad to do so. You make our celebration richer and our flower cross fuller. But it occurs to me that every year, we tell you the same story. It's the story Pastor Doug read for us a bit ago, and it's indeed one of the church's greatest hits. But I suspect that you already know the story of Christ's resurrection. Indeed, that's why you've come today. And the resurrection is worth memorializing in the grandiose way we do, because it is so miraculous. To live again after death goes beyond anything our limited vocabulary can articulate. But there's another miracle that deepens the meaning of the empty tomb, and it's one we don't typically have the time on Easter morning to talk about. But that's what I'd like to think about today. Now, this other miracle is not as flashy as the resurrection, the virgin birth, or even the feeding of the 5,000. But it is every bit as extraordinary. To understand it, we need to look to Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which includes familiar lessons you've probably heard, like turn the other cheek, or do unto others as you would have them do to you. It also includes beautiful, inspiring images like look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. It is a beautiful sermon. Today, we're going to focus on its opening words called the Beatitudes.
Now, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
If you have ever taken a public speaking class, or if you can remember that unit from high school, you know that a good speech always begins with an attention getter. Something provocative, right off the top, to hook your listener, so they'll want to hear what else it is you have to say. Well, Jesus must have taken that course too, because these words would have turned everyone's head in Roman-occupied Galilee. Now, I get that it's not a good look to have a pastor critiquing Jesus, especially on Easter Sunday, but what Jesus says is just so obviously incorrect here. What is blessed about poverty and discouragement? I can't imagine a job more difficult in our violent world than being a peacemaker. And who can even say with a straight face that those who mourn or who are persecuted are blessed? No, we know full well who the truly blessed are. We see them all around us. And if we're honest, quietly envy them. The blessed ones are those who sit in boardrooms or corner offices or government buildings and make important decisions on behalf of others. They are the online influencers who set the trends and score those big endorsement deals. They are the people whose social media feeds show their families always smiling, arms wrapped warmly around one another. Maybe Jesus could try this instead. Blessed are the decision makers, for everyone must abide by their decrees. Blessed are the influencers, for everyone listens to them. Blessed are those with beautiful family photos, for their pictures always reflect reality. But of course, Jesus isn't actually confused. We are. Jesus' message is that God's kingdom isn't like our world. What the world pursues and celebrates is not what God pursues and celebrates. And we confuse ourselves even more when we read Jesus' promises as strictly future-oriented. For they shall receive, for they shall be filled, for they shall be comforted. We might be tempted to think, oh, okay, so they're going to be blessed sometime in the future. That makes more sense. But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus isn't telling these folks, just hang on because someday it will pay off. No, Jesus says over and over again, blessed are. They are blessed now and also have pending future rewards. Now, the rest of Jesus' sermon continues in the spirit of the Beatitudes, laying out the countercultural values of God's kingdom. Jesus is very clear about what it looks like to follow him. But just because he's clear doesn't mean following him is an easy thing to do, especially in a world that pulls us so strongly toward its values. Let's just say that in a little bit, when we pray on earth as it is in heaven, we should really punch that earth part because we are falling so short. But we do have a lot of really good excuses, chief among them being that God's kingdom values are just so lofty. We find ourselves thinking, Jesus, you can't be serious. You want us to do what? I mean, I find it pretty easy not to murder. But Jesus says we aren't even to get angry. We can handle being charitable, but Jesus says that when we are, we can't even tell other people how generous we've been. It's not enough to just not commit adultery. We aren't even to entertain a lustful thought. And loving our neighbors? Not enough. We have to love our enemies too. This way of living is completely impractical. If I turn the other cheek, I'm just going to get struck again. People are going to walk all over us, and the rest of the world will charge ahead while we are left behind. Now, it sounds really nice here in the sanctuary in our beautiful Easter clothes with the brass and the hymns and the pretty flowers. So maybe we'll play along while the preacher's talking. But once we get back out there, there is no way that we can live like this. Because if we did, well, we'd end up poor in spirit, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemakers, and yes, maybe even persecuted and grief-stricken. Or maybe, as Jesus says, blessed. We would also be living just as Jesus did. That is the other miracle I want to tell you. The way of living that Jesus describes were the ones who are gentle and righteous and holy and hurting, where they're considered blessed. That's how Jesus actually lived his life. He was tempted just as we are, subjected to all the pressures and forces of this world that we are, was a product of his time, just like we are. And even so, he lived this life that seems to us completely, absurdly, possibly laughably impossible. That, too, is miraculous. Because the world prefers its values of power, greed, and violence. Because of that, Jesus' radical way of living led him to the cross. But even there, betrayed and battered, Jesus holds firm to those kingdom values. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Jesus doesn't simply lay out a better way and then tell his disciples to try, really try, to live up to that standard. Keep at it. Dig a little deeper. No, Jesus lays out a better way and then lives according to it without faltering. We say, Jesus, you can't be serious. And his life shows us that, yes, he really was. The resurrection is miraculous on its face. But when we consider the values by which Jesus lived, we see that there is even more miracle to celebrate today. The world rejected God's kingdom values in the clearest way possible. It crucified God's Son. The resurrection vindicates Jesus and the values by which he lived. And it also gives us a sneak peek of those future-oriented promises. God does and will vindicate those who live according to kingdom values. As disciples of Jesus Christ, we are called not merely to admire Jesus for his faithfulness, but to follow him in it. And Easter is an invitation to live into those kingdom values right now. This way of living is not easy, but we don't pursue it alone. We have Jesus as our trailblazer, companion, and guide. But importantly, we also have each other. Christ's call to discipleship is not to isolated individuals. He preached this sermon to a crowd. This is a call to a community, the church, that is to carry on his ministry. And so for those of you visiting with us today, I hope you know that you are always welcome here at Bethlehem, where we are leaning on one another to try to live as Christ's disciples, getting it wrong a whole lot and trying some more. Friends, the good news is that Christ is risen. Christ was serious, let us be as well as we follow in the way of our Savior. Thanks be to God. Amen.